Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Blogger News on the Radio. My name is Simon Barrett, and I will be your host for this program. This is a special in our News in Review series. My guest today is private investigator William Cobra Stobbs. We will not be opening up the phone lines today. However, we will be monitoring the chat room. And if you do have any questions for Cobra, please put them in there. And we will certainly do our best to get to them. Cobra, good afternoon, and thanks for taking time out to talk with me today.
Simon, the pleasure is mine, and I do thank you.
There's a number of areas that I hope we can cover in this program. I've had several conversations with you about the bail bond industry in general, and it is a complex one. And I'm hoping that you can kind of shed some light on how it actually operates. And I'm also hoping that we can explore a little bit about your current legal entanglement. Maybe we could start with the business aspect first, because I think it puts your predicament in a light that makes it somewhat easier to understand. So let's play a little scenario here. Simon Barrett goes out and does something nefarious and gets himself arrested. Can you explain the steps involved in getting me out of pokey? In fact, question number one, who sets the bond and on what criteria is it set?
Well, most agencies across, I'll speak of Florida, there's different happenings in different states. Florida, I'm more familiar with. Typically, if you was picked up on something like lewd and lascivious or drinking in public or driving drunk or, you know, stuff like that, there's a set bond fee that they have that they will post your bond. For example, a DUI, and it goes from county to county, could be $5,000, could be $500 on the first offense. It could be a series of things, but basically that's set then and there. Now, it may sometimes be set way too high because there's no judge on. We're not a Commonwealth state where we'd have someone there sitting there that you could argue before him right then. You might not see the judge till tomorrow morning. You might not want to stay there. He might jump the bond up higher thinking you're a knucklehead, or you may get a reduction in bond. So at some form or another, there is a standard, but then sometimes it's inflated depending on the crime. And you can either take your chances at a hearing or just go ahead and find you a bondsman and somebody to indemnify it and get out of jail right then and there.
Okay, let's assume it's, you know, 11 o'clock at night, and I've, you know, thrown a rock through the jeweler's window or, you know, whatever I've done. Mm-hmm. Is it the police that say, okay, throwing a rock through a jeweler's window is a $1,000 bond? Mm-hmm. Or is it the judge that says that?
Well, if you ask me, you might not get out of jail. You might be on a no-bond hold for the simple reason you just chunked what's called a deadly missile. You threw a missile. Now, if the place was occupied and the doc was sitting in there, you ain't getting out of jail. But if you
all right. It was a poor choice, but, you know, okay. I've done something.
Intense. You did something. Let's say something simple. Let's say that you were caught intoxicated in public, and it's going to be a $100 bond or a $500 bond, something simple.
Right.
They take you to jail. That's a pretty standard, simple, you know, trespassing, drunk in public, pretty simple stuff. They'll slap you a bond, $500. You then will have the option to call a bail bondsman, pay cash bond yourself for $500, or like in Collier County, somebody might just show up and post your bond. You might not know who the hell did it because they just came in there and did it. But you best believe you better hold that piece of paper and find out who did it so that they can contact you. You be in contact with them. Otherwise, they're going to come throw your ass back in jail.
Right.
So there's many ways of getting out of jail once you get, but I think the original question was, is there a set fee schedule? And for the most part, there is. Sometimes it may be a little higher, maybe, you know, just right, whatever. But, yes, for the most part, there is, you know, there's nothing new up under the sun. They pretty much know every crime anybody's ever going to commit, and they already know what the bond schedule will be.
Okay, so it initially, it is the police that say it's going to be a $1,000 bond.
Pretty much. I mean, for the most part that I know, the police are saying it based on their schedule that they have. Uh-huh.
Right. Okay. So let's say my nasty little offense has garnered me a bond of $1,000. Mm-hmm. Is it always 10% that the bondsman wants, which would be $100 in my case?
In Florida, it's the law. It is 10%. You have to pay that. The state of Florida set that law in effect. You must pay your bondsman, and the bondsman must charge you 10%.
Okay, so there's no wriggle room?
No.
No. Okay, when is this 10% payable?
Soon as it can be attainable. If you've got somebody on the outside, some bondsmen will make you go ahead and have somebody drop off that 10% plus security for the remainder of it. You're only covering the first 10%. There's still 90% of that bond or that $1,000 note that needs to be backed up to make sure maybe you're not a qualified little feller. You might have to put up your car title. You might have to put up some jewelry. You might have to do something to put up as collateral for that. If it gets bigger, it's a house note, stuff like that. But typically, that's the way it is. Now, on a lot of cases, the bondsman will make a phone call and you're out of jail. And he'll tell you the next day, come on in, bring the $100, bring your demeter with you or your demifying or whoever it is. Come on in, fill out your paperwork. Or at that point in time, they might not get the whole 10%. You might pay them you might pay them $25. You know, you might not have no money. And then next week, you might bring them another $25. So they set you on a payment plan or something. There's many, many ways that the bondsman handles this, and there's some tricky ways that they do it, too.
Right. Okay, so the law as it stands, it's a bit of a gray area. You must pay 10%, but there is no clear-cut route or timeline that you must pay this money in.
That's kind of true. Yeah, that for the most part, that's a true statement, and that's where a lot of problems come into the bail bond. But it's supposed to be fair. You should be able to go to any bondsman and post bond and should have the same rewards or deficits that you have with anybody else. It should be uniform. It's not uniform. I mean, a lot of fancy footwork and writing work is done in that process there, but it is a standard 10%. They cannot offer a discount. That's illegal. None of that. So you're going to pay 10%. How fast you pay that 10% or how quickly the bondsman gets that 10% is anybody's guess or, you know, depending on the business you're dealing with.
I've heard rumors that there are occasions where there is no money changing hands.
Yeah, absolutely. That happens as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
okay,
I assure you that even I'm a bondsman and I've brought back, you know, thousands and thousands of people for these local guys that they would probably afford a guy like me that, but I assure you, I paid my full 10%. The law is the law.
Right. Okay, so effectively what the bondsman is doing is telling the court that he's my sponsor.
Mm-hmm. He's acting as a surety, just like the Bible says. If you be surety for another person, you're a damn fool, you know. But you're being responsible. You're his surety. When the judge says, where is he, that's your responsibility to produce that defendant or pay the court the money of the bond. And in your case, it would have been $1,000, not $900, $1,000.
All right. So let's say that I don't fancy going to court. You know, I wake up late and I just decide to blow it off. So I miss my court appearance, and the bondsman has my $100. But, you know, I've decided, screw it, I don't care about the $100. The bondsman, though, is now on the nut for the $1,000.
Right.
And the court, obviously, is going to be wanting their pound of flesh. How long does the bondsmen have to actually come up with the $1,000?
Well, he has roughly, depending on how the calendar set, 60 days. He has 60 days to produce your ass back in jail or pay that $1,000. Now, once he pays that $1,000 within that 60-day period, he's entitled to that money back upon your capture in a descending scale, depending on how long it takes you, him, to get you. So that kicks in at that point. But 60 days, either the body or they pay the bond. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he can return me to jail, and if he does that, he's off the hook for the $1,000. Is that what I'm hearing?
That's correct.
All right, but if it's more than 60 days, mm-hmm. he's lost his $1,000.
Well, at first it became a forfeiture. In other words, he's forfeiting because you failed to bring the defendant before the judge. So it's a forfeiture asking for the money. Now the time clock's clicking. You're out hunting. Somebody's hunting for you now. And then if they don't find you in 6 days, the bondsman's going to pay that bond before it goes into judgment. If it goes into judgment, then no matter when you're found, he still owes the court that $1,000. And if, you know, enough of that builds up or the court decides, you know what, we didn't get our last $1,000, they shut down the insurance company writing that powers, those appointments, they shut them down. That insurance company shut down until that $1,000's paid. And then everybody can go back to work again. But it shuts everybody down in the whole damn state. So they're going to get their money.
Okay. All right. But look, let's say, you know, I skip my court date. The bondsman finds this out. And he knows that this 60-day clock is ticking. So he throws my sorry ass back in jail.
Right.
Within, let's say, a week. All right. He's off the hook financially,
mm-hmm.
but he isn't off the hook. All right. He's still in the hole because he has to pay someone. And I think the common term used on Discovery is bounty hunter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he needs to find someone to come pick me up and put me back in jail. And I'm sure bounty hunters don't work for free.
Mm-hmm. He can do it himself and save himself some money if he can find you, and keeping in mind that he's writing bail. So he needs to be in that office doing his thing. He can't be out running the streets looking for you. So $1,000 ones usually get this paid. Ain't nobody even hunting for them for the most part. But for your case, yeah, he's going to have to pay somebody to go find them, spend expense money to burn gas up looking for them, and then give them a 10% fee, which is typical. And there ain't very many people hunting folks for $100 anymore.
No. I'm just using that as, you know, a simple number to, you know, wrap my head around.
Yeah. He's usually going to pay upwards of $500 on that bond. He'll pay 50% of that bond to get you back. Half is better than nothing. He'll pay that. And then, of course, your next question would probably be, how does he get his money back?
Exactly. I mean, what recourse does the bondsman have to recover his costs?
He has the defendant, and if the defendant is able to pay him, he has the defendant that he can strike up a civil action against. He also has the ademitor, the person who was standing good, but, you know, something like that, typically you self-bonded or you just signature bonded yourself with the bondsman. So he would only have recourse to whoever has guaranteed that bond and the defendant, which is an overall guarantee anyway. So that's his recourse. Short of that, he doesn't have any.
Mm. It sounds like it can be a pretty dicey industry to get into. You could easily lose your shirt.
Oh, it's a give and take business, we like to call it. You know, you win. It's kind of like some days you get up and eat the bear, chase after him. Some day he chases after you and eats your ass. So it all depends on you know, the location. It's like real estate, it's location. If you got a lot of bonds coming in, you're going to write a lot of bad bonds, and hopefully you got somebody good enough to chase them down. And in the end, it'll balance out. I haven't seen a broke-ass writer yet. I haven't seen one that's broke-ass. I mean, there's a couple who've been trying to put out of business, but for the most part, if everything's kept fair, most of them do quite well, the writer.
Okay. All right. Here's another question for you. Let's say that I'm not a lowlife, and I do make my court appearance, and you know, I'm very apologetic about being drunk in public and or whatever I've done. And the judge says $50 fine, and I pay my $50. All right, it's the end of the matter. Well, what happens to the $100?
Oh, that's cost of doing business, my friend. That 10% is cost of doing business. You don't never see that again. That's gone. That's why when the bonds get real big, such as up in Putnam County there, some folks go and pay cash bonds because it wouldn't make any sense to give the bondsman $1,200 if they know the case is going to be dismissed or they're going to be there or whatever. So they just cash bond that so they can get all their money back, minus any court costs or anything like that. They will take them out. That's why we encourage them to get a bondsman. You don't have to tie your cash up. You can tie the bondsman's cash up, and, yes, you lose that piece. It's kind of a trade-off because they could come back at you and charge you all kinds of fees and everything. They take that right out of your cash bond. Now, you're done as far as the $100, but now if you put up collateral or anything like that, I think it's about 21 days or something. I don't handle none of that business, but there's a time frame then that the bondsman has to give you back your property, give it back to you. It's yours. The case is has a deposition on it. It's done. It's over. It's been disposed of. It's satisfied.
Okay,
so,
but I'm still confused. That would mean that the bondsman effectively has made nothing.
No. He's got his $100. Your case is over, and it costs you $100 to do business with him. And if he's got any of your collateral, you get it all back. So that $100, he didn't make that. He probably sent a couple of points off to his insurance company. A piece of it might have went into what's called a buff account, a savings account, in the event that he writes a bad bond one day and get it out of that buff, kind of a little bit of protection between the insurance company and his company. He's going to put in his pocket a good $60, you know, and then, of course, he had his office open there and everything else. So if he makes $50 on you and he does that 500 times a week, he's doing all right.
Good Lord, that would mean everyone in this town is on bond.
Some towns they are all on bond.
Okay, another question I have, and it's a bit of a gray area between a bail bondsman and a bounty hunter.
Mm-hmm.
The two do go hand in hand. What legal abilities does a bondsman or a bounty hunter have? Now, I was on the phone with you a few nights back, and you were mumbling and grumbling about not being able to kick a door in.
Mm-hmm.
When can you kick the door in, and when can't you?
I want to go back to the first part of that. There is no such thing in Florida as a bounty hunter. Back in the day, I was one, but then a good friend of mine passed a law and stopped that nonsense. And, of course, I always kicked myself in the ass for not being grandfathered in. But the term bounty hunter has such a nasty stench on it that they made it a third-degree felony for me to knock on your door. And then you say, who is it? And I say, bounty hunters. Well, that's a third-degree felony I just stepped into. I don't know that you could be a bounty hunter and be a 234 licensed agent. That's the class it is, a surety agent, a limited surety agent. Everyone that's in Florida that's out looking for people or writing bail is under the same license, which is a 234 license. It's a limited surety agent license that they had to go to school for, do a whole bunch of stuff, jump through some hoops, and take a state test, and then continue education and all that to maintain it, to keep up with everything going on. So there is no bounty hunters, but everybody likes to use the frame bounty hunter. And there are a lot of bail bondsmen, women, and I don't mean it bad. That woman that used to write the law, she was one of the baddest bounty hunters there ever was. Now, I can call her a bounty hunter. She can call me a bounty hunter, but we cannot refer to ourselves as bounty hunters. We are surety agents or bail bondsmen. So that takes care of that. Now, second issue, of whose door can you go kicking in? Well, according to Taylor versus Tainer, you can chase an individual from one state to the next and break and enter his house for that purpose, even on a Sunday. You know, that's pretty much the old-time law. Now, if you're on the run and you run to South Dakota and I break in your house, that technically probably ain't your house, but you're in there. Keeping it simple, in Florida, for example, if you're the defendant or you are the ademitor, and you've signed up on the bond. Now, first house I'm coming to is your house that you listed on the bail bond note. And if I've done my homework, making sure that you still live there, and you haven't moved and lied to me when you did your paperwork, and I have reason and good reason to believe that you're in there, maybe I saw you, I can kick that door in and come for you. Same if you're in a motel room. I have to pretty much know you're in there. You can't just go kicking in everybody's damn door. And, you know, pretty much you better be in there if I kick the door in. You better best be in there, just jumped out the window and we're chasing you down the street. So you can't go to third party, you cannot go to third party residences and bust up in there. You're kind of like, well, that was the situation with me the other night. I had tracked down several fugitives and found their location. However, I did not see them go in. And then when the bail bondsman showed up, of course, I couldn't kick the door anyway. My job was to locate, and I located them. Then I called the bail bondsman, and, you know, I called my bounty hunter, so to speak, you know. But I called the bail bondsman, the guys licensed with power and authority to kick a door and touch them, and they wanted to kick and go in. I said, whoa, show me the address on the paperwork that you have to kick this door. They don't have it. But he's in there. I said, listen, I didn't see him go in there, but I know for a fact he's in there. But I'm not giving you authority, and I'm not telling you, and you should not kick that door in. So it ended up I was very frustrated when I was talking to you on the phone because we were in a Mexican fishing contest. This guy's in a third-party residence. I know he's in there, but I don't know it well enough to get these hunters in trouble to send him in there, and he's not on that file. So we stand down until girlfriend shows up and runs up in there with her keys and says, come on, it's her house. So, by God, there he is underneath the bed. Now, we got him. You know, they cuffed him and stuffed him and took him away. And as they're walking out past me, I said, I told you he was in there. But, see, you have to have, you know, pretty much proof positive he is in there. You can't just go rant. That's why they outlawed bounty hunting, because the old days of bounty hunting, you kicked everybody's door in. Hell, I said he's in there. You know, some kid, 6 years old, told you, hey, I seen him in there. Bounty hunters would kick the doors in and stuff. Now they've kind of cleaned up the industry, and, you know, it's a little bit better. You don't want to have your door kicked in if you've got absolutely nothing to do with this feller. And that's pretty much the law on it there. I mean, it's what he put on the application. If you know for sure he's standing there shooting a bird through the window, I mean, go get him. You know, it don't matter whose house he's in. If you see him and you've seen him, not that you think he's in there. So that part gets a little tricky. A lot of people don't like kicking in doors. You never know what's on the other side of that door. It might be kicking out at you. So, you know, it's kind of tricky, but that's pretty much how it unfolded for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've told Cobra this several times. He's more than welcome to come visit me anytime here in Mississippi, but I do please ask that you knock on the door.
I wouldn't kick the door in, man. That's the only time you kick the door in when you, like I said, you've seen him, he's wanted, and it's usually something serious, you know, to where the guy's been running for a while or something. You know, he's a damn thug on the run, and you pop it up a notch. But you got to maintain, you know, treat people how you want to be treated. Would you want your damn door kicked in? You know, I'm on bond. If the bastards wanted to, they could come here right now, kick my door in, come in here and get my ass. And that's why I'm talking to you on this ghost phone from somewhere else, because I'm calling. They might just try that, especially today's show is bounty hunters went wild.
Okay, a serious question.
All right.
What are the qualifications for being a bondsman? I understand that you cannot have any felonies, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. No moral turpitudes, no felonies. You got to be a person of integrity. You got to be of legal age. There's a whole bunch of qualifications. It's been so damn long. I'm 52 now. It's been so damn long I read up on the qualifications because none of them matter to me anymore except this one where I'm out on the charge with a felony. That would ruin my career all day long. So that's why you walk a straighter line than the average folks do, because we're officers of the court. You know, we're supposed to be looked upon as people of integrity and honesty and you know, the last call of defense, I say, for the fugitive is running, because if he runs over to the next county, there ain't nobody looking for him. You know, if he gets stopped in a traffic stop, oh well. But you got to have people hunting for people in this day and age, you know, find them and bring them back to justice. So,
okay, so it's very clear cut that if you have a felony on your record, you, mm-hmm. you cannot be a bondsman.
No, sir, you cannot.
Okay.
And you can't be in no bondsman's office. You can't profit off of a bail bond agency. You can't partake in it or be owners in it or sitting up in there or even just hired to take out the trash. You cannot be nowhere near the four corners of that bail bond office, nor can you solicit for bail bonds, help them in any way, profit off of them in any way, none of the above. In fact, you have to be a current, licensed, active 234 agent to do any of the above. Period. Unless you just want to go over and hang out. You know, you could mop the floors, but you can't be a felon and mopping the floors. You can't do that.
Okay. Under what circumstances can a bond be revoked?
Any circumstances known. If you woke up one morning mad, at me and wanted to come over here and get me, they could come get me. Now, they shouldn't really kick my door down unless I'm being aggressive toward them or not wanting to go, and they decided they just didn't want me on bond anymore. I'm still in jail, so to speak, as a bond. I'm in jail, but I am out on jail on a tether, on a string that can be yoked at any time. They can pull that string any time for a reason or for not reason. Now, if they do it for no reason whatsoever, no good reason, I just don't like Cobra, you know. He was talking to Simon about the bail bond business, so we yoked the string. And, you know, they don't have to have any excuse, but they do have to give me my 10% back, provided I paid them the 10%. Whatever I've given them in that 10%, my property and shit, it's returned to me. Now, I have the option right then and there from jail to immediately bond out again because there's no new charges added to me. It's just this person that was holding my leash decided they didn't want to hold the leash no more, so they pass it back to the jail, let them hold it for a while, but I'm still bondable. I'm still free to go as soon as I can get somebody to sign off on me, and away I go.
Right. So it's a different set of circumstances. Going back to my $1,000 bond.
No, well, let me just finish that now. If they caught me out here in the front yard running around doing something that I know is more totally, not right, running around my underwear or something, or if I'm rearrested and the police got me back in jail, they can automatically go off that bond, or, they can do it for cause or for out cause, however they want to do it. Now, if they do it for cause, for a reason, a good reason, a reason accepted by the state of Florida, they do not have to give my money back. I have to start all over again. Now, if there's no new charge placed on me by the police, I can still bail out. Even though they had a reason to put me back in jail, I can still get out again. I can go. But those things right there always have to be looked at very, very carefully.
All right. Under one set of circumstances, mm-hmm. I lose my $100. Under another set of circumstances, like let's say the bondsman just doesn't like me, mm-hmm. I get my money back.
Mm-hmm. Here's what's common practice right now of what they call the king of the $100 bail bonds, because those are the easy ones. It's $100. They'll run over to the jail and drop a bond on anybody, anytime, and nobody ever told them to do it. They just looked on the computer, saw the person was in jail, went down there and popped the bond loose on them. All right. Now, somebody else might have went to the pain in the ass and called up family members of you and said, listen, Jan, Simon's been drunk again down at the corner store. All right. And she comes down, gives you $100 and fills out all your paperwork and stuff. Now, the bond...
No, she wouldn't. She'd say, keep him.
Now, the bondsman who went over and dropped that bond is waiting for you to come and pay him $100 and do the paperwork, right? So,
right.
Technically, what just happened was is that bondsman who went over and posted and you're out on his paper that you signed, you could have put the pen down and sat back down and not signed out on his bond. But you're thinking that this is a bondsman maybe that your wife sent over there, but it's not. It's somebody else. Now, they got your money at the bail bond store. They got the file and everything. They got everything on you totally, totally legit. Except the guy that was in jail bonded out on this slam bond, what I call a slam bond. He went over and jumped a bond on your ass, and you went to all this damn trouble, filling out all this paperwork. You got the people's money. You got to give them their money back because technically that bondsman owns that boy, and he's going to go snatch your ass up and throw you back in jail at the least drop of a hat, and mainly because you failed to come to him to do paperwork. And your mama forgot to come over. Jan forgot to come over and do the paperwork. But she already did do paperwork. But she did it with the wrong guy because they're slamming bonds. They're doing that kind of illegal shit. I don't know if it's illegal or not. It just ain't very clear in some people's minds right now.
Right. I do want to say this to our listeners. I know you're probably going, well, this is fascinating. Bail Bonds 101. When are we going to get to the meat and potatoes? Just hang tough, folks. the meat and potatoes is right around the corner.
I'll put a little gravy on it for you.
Right. Okay. Well, let's talk the back end of the business. And this is, again, is an area that confuses me a little bit. Even in the small town I live in, there are at least two bail bond companies that I've seen. And occasionally when I'm out walking, I see a couple of really mean-looking dudes sitting outside the front of their stores. They definitely don't look like folks I would like to rile up. But they also don't look particularly well off. I mean, where does the money come from? Is there a kind of a food chain?
Well, I think you just described one of the lower ends of the food chain just now, because those two fellas sitting out there...
Hey, they might be listening.
That's all right. Listen, if you two fellas are sitting out there, I can probably figure out who you are. A, you're some bounty hunters waiting to go get somebody's door kicked in and get your meager pay and go pay your child support and everything else. Or you're sitting out there pissed off because the damn bondsman's got you locked out and he ain't paying you what he was supposed to pay you for the last guys you just picked up. Because by and large, people who own the bail bond business that write in the bail bond business, as long as they're not some skate people out there slamming bail bonds and doing all kinds of hinky shit behind the scenes, there's a good living that can be made from writing bail bonds. In fact, some of the people I deal with drive Bentleys. They got airplanes. They sure as hell got helicopters, too. They got a lot of stuff. And they always tell me, Bill, you should be writing bail bonds. You make Man, I'm not into writing bail bonds. I'm into making sure that the person that raped or murdered or hurt or robbed or did something to so-and-so, that's the challenge for me, to go bring them back to justice wherever they found themselves and play the largest game of manhunt you've ever seen in your life and get my pay and pay my child support and feed my kids and do that. And that's what I do. And you got to love it to do it. And I sure as hell didn't get into it because of the money. Because if I did, the writing side, which I'm free to do at any time, once this case gets out of the way or whatever the hell, but back before this case, I was able to, at any time I wanted to open up a bail bond business, get some powers, and get a bunch of paper and start writing the shit out of bail bonds. But I've been working with law enforcement for about 30-some years or longer. And it seems to me counterproductive to be out there seeing this guy did what he did, and then he's going to jail, good for him, and then me to go down there and bond his dumb ass out, only to have to chase him down again. What the hell was I thinking?
You know?
Right.
Okay.
It won't make much sense.
Let's talk Snodgrass. This is what everyone wants to hear about. Let's start at the beginning here. What happened that day?
Everything happened probably before that day. Basically, as everybody knows, Richard Grun had asked me to go to Satsuma to look for one missing child, Haley Cummings. The press had backed off. Equisearch had left. Timmy Miller and his crew's gone. Media's gone. Pretty much it's a cold case. Back in March 11th of 2009, child been missing a month, and basically, the same mystery is still going on today. What the hell happened? Well, one thing that I tried to do through Richard Grun is get me some press back up there, get me somebody back up there to help me. And nobody was willing to post on this story at all. So another bondsman told me about a guy who, for a fee, he was a reporter, and he was a two-time Emmy Award winner and all this kind of stuff. So I ended up talking to Art Harris. And Art Harris and I come to the conclusion that, hey, there's going to be a lot of expenses to pull off any national stories that he's working on, but he would be willing to if it could happen. So I made arrangements to borrow some money to get Art over to the thing, and with Art there, I knew that would bring back Nancy Grace, Jane Velez Mitchell, Fox, and just about anybody else that you wanted to. So we got all that into play, and then I realized one child's been stolen by somebody, and somebody who was supposed to be home said they was sleeping and all this happy shit, and they still in charge of yet another child. So at that point in time, I looked for a child advocate, a good civil family lawyer, Kim Bacasio, and asked her to join this crew up here and come up here and help make sure that the other little fella ain't going to come up missing. in the same kind of situation. I don't know what the hell we got on our hands. Nobody's informed me. I've not talked to the police, and, of course, as we all know, they're not giving out any information. So basically, you're starting from scratch, and it's your case, and it's what they've said, and you don't know anything else other than that. That's all you're dealing with. So the very first night that I got into town, I started acquiring upon all bail bonds, since I'm a bail bondsman, and I know that there's two sides of the street out there. One that is good folks like you and Jan, and there's another bunch that they're doing their drugs and that kind of stuff. Well, chances are they've either A, been in jail, B, they're out on bond, or something hokey is going on. So I contacted all the bail bondsmen up and asked them, do you have any skips that you're looking for, or folks that, you know, you need put back, or just anything at all? And I got a series of probably 10 or 12 immediate files. Other ones came in, and even folks from Miami had lost a couple of their drug dealers up there in that area, and we were successful in getting them back to Miami and various things. And for the most part, life was good. And then all of a sudden, before we started doing that, though, I'd met with law enforcement. I met with the sheriff. I met with John Merchant. I met with Mr. Travis. I met with Chris Middleton from the state's attorney's office. He's their investigator. I met with all these gentlemen and opened the files for their purview to see if I would be crossing the line with anybody that they already had suspicions of, or, you know, anything that they were actively involved in. And I was told no. It was pretty much a civil matter. And I informed them that I had the power to arrest all any of these folks here because I had the file. I'm also the current card holder for the state, and also I have power of attorney over everybody there. So if there was anything going on, and they looked at all the files, and one of the files in particular was Mr. Snodgrass's file. So I was given a clean bill of health that I wasn't going to be stepping on any of their toes, which I didn't want to do. I didn't want to involve into their investigation. And then I began my investigation. Now, about over half of these folks, we picked them up and cleaned them up kind of quick and bonded some new ones out of jail, Amber and Nene. And Snodgrass, I never got to his file. I mean, he became, you know, the bail, I was already undercover from the first six or seven. I mean, I already infiltrated all the hoods in town, and everybody knew me pretty much that I was that guy that was looking for that little girl. So, you know, we didn't need to go chasing after no more damn people or anything else. And, of course, Snodgrass happened to be out on bond. That's it. He wasn't a fugitive from justice. He had no warrant for his arrest, none of that. A lot of these people did not. They just either bondsman wanted them back for some reason or another or whatever. So kind of let his stuff slide, and we was in the middle of the investigation. Long about the 20th of March, I think that's the date, 20th of March, I contacted law enforcement after finding out from two other investigators that Mr. Snodgrass had been selling all his furniture. He had been accosted by several reporters in doing so. The reporters got the word back, and in fact, I guess he showed up at the Haley Bug Center wanting to donate furniture to them. Now, I have his file, and on one of the pages in his file, stamped in their big, bold letters from a judge, he is not to have any contact around any children under the age of 18, period. That's one that the judge put on him. Now, selling your furniture and disposing of your car, now, he got rid of his car and his boat after Art Harris caught him over there and followed him back to the house. Now, I wasn't with them when all this was happening. I never seen him there at the Haley Bug Center myself. So Art goes back over, and he's gotten rid of his car, he's got rid of his boat, and the investigators are going wild. And then it's alleged that he continued to come by the Haley Bug Center upwards of about three, four more times, depending on who's giving the count. And first couple times, he would do a slow drive-by, you bitches, you fucking bitches, get a job. Now, this is the mother of the child, lost her child. Other mothers are there with their children, and he's screaming, you bitches, get a fucking job, and all that shit, because he later said that they made him feel bad because they wouldn't take his furniture because he was out on bond for, or he did want to sell all, give all his things, just a desk or something. It made him feel bad. So then all of a sudden, the next day, he's up in the Haley Bug Center, man. He's up in there big as Ike. Well, Kim Picazio, quick thinking, called law enforcement, and law enforcement was on route to get him because he ain't supposed to be there. They don't want him there. And he was GOA, gone upon arrival. So that was another incidents of him being in the, around these children. So then they're calling me, hey, you're the bondsman on this guy. He ain't supposed to be around no damn children, is he? I said, no, he's not. So still we don't do anything with the guy. Then again this happens, and I show up down at the Heavy Bug Center and cop cars everywhere. I said, what the hell? Well, they couldn't properly identify him by the pictures that the police officer showed him, because his picture from 07, where he was originally charged, up until today, he's changed a lot. So they couldn't properly identify, so no arrest was made again. But it was him. I mean, everybody said, that's him, that's him. You know, but they couldn't identify it by the computer shots. So they did send law enforcement to his house, and I don't know if this happened yet a third time or whatever. So on the morning of the 20th, I called law enforcement. I said, listen, you know, I've been had enough of this bullshit. I can't even do my damn job. They're calling me about this guy. He's doing this. I've already received his file. I have the qualifying power of attorney from the insurance company, which tells me I can do it. And I have a 234 license. Active. Everything's active. And then, of course, you know, they're saying now I didn't have the whole file, but I had his appearance bond. I had every piece of paper that I needed to do what I needed to do. And I guess, you know, there were some people down the line that didn't want to offer the permission to do this if it was required. I don't know. But I had worked it out with C.E. Parrish that he didn't have a problem me putting him back in jail. However, C.E. and I had discussed just what you and I are discussing here. If I revoke him for no reason, then we have to give him his money back. And those people up there don't make a very much amount of money, like, you know, they're probably like your people in Mississippi. I told him I understood that. And I even went so far as to say, listen, I've gotten about 2,000 of your people picked up, and I've never seen a case where they've gotten their money back because I revoked them for absolutely no reason. So, but if there is a reason to give him his money back, then I will do that. That was the agreement that I made with CE. And Roger and the rest of them, of course, they weren't involved at that time. I thought Roger drank too damn much. In fact, what time is it, 2 o'clock? So, yeah, he's pretty good and lit. So if you're listening, Roger, don't drink and drive no more. They're going to get your ass. So anyway, you know, I called the police officers up, and they said, listen, it's a civil matter. We're not going to get involved in it. So I ended up driving. They led me down there for a good little piece, and then they took positions at the end of the road. Then I drove on in there to his place, and I blew the horn for him, and this feller comes out and tell him he ain't there. Get the hell out of there. So who ain't there? He doesn't know who I'm looking for, first of all. So part of my light should have came on there in my mind. Why is this happening this way? Then I approached the house and got so far and stopped. I heard a damn shotgun stitch or some kind of magazine stitch up. And I said, shit. So I went and called 911 and said, listen, the cops told me it wasn't going to be a damn problem. Now it's a damn problem. I'm hearing a gun or something going on, send somebody down here. So the guys at the end of the road came on up, and I instructed them that the minute they come in my contact, this guy over here, if he touches me, you get him, and I'm going straight for Snodgrass. And he's screaming the whole damn time that I don't work for the insurance company no more, which is crazy as Looney Tunes. There's nobody. You would not do that if I was going to throw you back on the ground, bitch, in jail. You wouldn't have said, hey, this guy don't work for the insurance company no more. You only know me as the bondsman that got you out, or as a bondsman, period. So somebody schooled him, but by this time, the fix is already in. So the police officers, believing that it's a civil matter, same as it is a civil matter, are standing there watching me, making sure I handcuff him properly. So as I'm riding out, I call up Roger Kaitner, because I can't get a hold of C.E. Parrish. I've got him in my truck. Now, we on the way. I asked the officers, where's your jail at? I got no intentions of doing shit or anything except taking him straight to fucking jail, and that's where he needed to be. In fact, his odometer has come off the bond. There is no odometer on his bond. They're doing some quirky shit up there. But why they got really upset was, as I'm telling Roger and him, hey, you got a convicted sexual predator sitting up in y'all's damn office. That's going to cost y'all to lose your damn license. Well, immediately when I did that, they started doing the huckabuck. Who told you to pick the guy up? I said, C.E. told me to pick the guy up. Well, then you work it out with C.E. I said, well, get him on the phone for me. So C.E. gets on the phone, and that's where you have the tape of him saying, you know, it's been a big misunderstanding with all the communication going on. But then when his feet got held to the fire, because, look, you got a convicted sexual predator working for all intents and purposes in a bail bond store, plus all the other shit of all the other offices they do across the state of Florida that I happen to know about because I was one of their biggest pickup guys. And then, of course, I'm remembered of the time when they hired convicted felons, i.e. SHU, which is Saunders Lee Hightower, who's now in prison doing 50 years for similar activities. They never authorized him either. And then they started with this, they never authorized me bullshit. And then if they just look at the police report, Simon, are you going to give me permission to go talk to somebody? Now, look, you can go talk to them, Cobra, but don't tell them you're working for me or you don't work for me. You understand? But you can talk to them. Do I need your permission, Simon, to go and talk to another full-grown-ass man? No. And I sure as hell don't need his file or any of that stuff. So all that stuff put together, you got to ask yourself, what the hell is going on here? Now, I know damn well they gave me the file. I know damn well I'm appointed. I know damn well I've done this for this company 2,000 times. And I know damn well of other convicted felons, which is illegal as hell, that have worked. And, in fact, if I wasn't as honorable as I am, Simon, there's a lot of law enforcement officers in Broward County and Miami that would be in jail right now. They have actually kicked in doors at the say-so of a bail bondsman, i.e., he was no bail bondsman, and they made the arrest and took the people to jail only to call me a true bondsman to take them in because there was no warrant for their arrest. This was just a bondsman revocating a bond. And this particular shoe guy who worked for C.E. Parrish, called him his Ace Coon Boone for many years and always brought the files from C.E.'s people to me. And I didn't know he was a convicted felon. Then when all this shit broke up with the state a few years ago, I refused to testify on anybody. I figured, hey, you guys do what the hell you got to do out there. You know, ain't none of my business. And I just got the cops all out of trouble by taking the guy and putting him in jail myself. I did something the cops couldn't do, put him in jail. There's no new charges. So all that totaled together, now you got honey buns out there being traded at the jail, and you got slam bonds going on. You got a lot of ruckus. I'm tired of that shit. It's time that the bail bond companies clean themselves up. If not, then I hope the state comes down and cleans them up. So they try to violate me. They're trying to put me in prison to stop me. And that's why today I'm on this sophisticated phone system and not quite where I was supposed to be till I get this done. And once it's done, y'all can shoot me in because there's nothing else they can do to me. They've already tried to get me arrested, trying to put me in prison for 10 to 15 years for some bullshit. And then they got power. They got juice. We're talking companies, brother, that ain't sitting out there on the front porch. These companies have $20 to $50 million in revenues each year in these offices. And this particular Roger Capener and C.E. Parrish, the ones that got me in all this bullshit by telling the cops. See, the cops, everybody said, aren't you mad at the cops? How come you always praise the cops? You think if you play with their leg a little bit that they're going to let you go? Hell no, they ain't going to let me go. And the cops didn't do it. Now, there was probably somebody in the state attorney's office got a little bit pissed off when I started asking some questions about this Haley and whose daddy Haley really, who really was the daddy for Haley. So maybe they just said, you didn't tell him to go do that? No, I didn't tell him. Did you tell him? No, I didn't tell him. Who told him? Nobody told him. He can't do that shit. And then you got bail agent 328 up there, Mr. Ron Man. He's monitoring the bracelet. Well, let me tell you something about Snodgrass's bracelet. Snodgrass's bracelet, he claimed that I took him in captivity for over an hour. That's what the police report said. My silent witness says 38 minutes. His bracelet said 9.7 minutes or 9.5 minutes, and it only showed him being two blocks away. Snodgrass said he was up at Weldon's Nursery. I was under Dunn's Creek Bridge. I mean, holy shit, is his time and bracelet thing off that much? And I have all his pings for the entire 24-hour period. He was only gone about 9.5 minutes, and he was only two blocks away. Yet we were over, 5 to 10 miles away, and we were gone 37 minutes. So there's just a whole lot of crap going on with it. I don't know. Somebody asked me, is Snodgrass involved in a little girl? I don't know. Don't give a shit. He's involved with selling his shit and violating the terms and conditions that judge, God bless, and that's a good judge, that wrote on there and said, don't go around no little kids, and he's been doing it. Now, his own daughter, if you will, stepdaughter or whatever, of his girlfriend of 9 years, Misty Saunders, has went off his bond, went back to Chuck's bail bonds, and they signed off. Yep. You're free to go. You're no longer the indemnitor on $78,000. So now the guy's out there with nobody protecting that bond. So when I report all this shit, I mean, they're pissed. They're pissed. They're pissed that I know too much. And the thing of it is they've been doing illegal activities, well, for years, and the state's kind of pissed. In fact, the last prosecutor that got after one of them and got some form of a lightweight conviction is now part of their defense team. I mean, shit, you know. This is the monkeyest stuff I've ever seen, and I didn't do nothing wrong. I was trying to find a little girl, and this insurance company in order to protect its $50 million clowns around the state here, and that's just a little piece. $50 million sounds like a big number. Trust me, it is not. They hide more money and do more under table shit than Carter got pills. They do it.
So right now, you're telling me that we have
a guy that's charged with horrible, horrible offenses.
Capital sexual battery. Capital. Meaning life or death. You know, that's a pretty serious crime.
All right. Is out on bond, and this goes back to the 10%. And no one has the 10%.
Well, no, the 10% is good to go, accordingly. I didn't find anything in the file. And like I said, I have the original file, and collateral receipts are missing, and this shit's missing, and different things are missing from the file. that was from the original file that I got all my copies from. But the thing of it is, he might have paid the 10%. But there's nobody online no more. There's no house on the line no more for the $78,000 bond. The only thing, the only protection that the insurance company has is that bracelet. That's it. And that ain't no kind of protection. And they know it. And, you know, there's his friend, Charles Ingram, a convicted sexual predator that is part and parcel and all the way up in this shit to his neck top. And the thing of it is, if the state follows the administrative rule, they wrote that rule for a reason. The CE, Roger Capener, all the guys that are all up there going, yeah, 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 they're all guilty of sin. CE even says, in that voice recording that we got from him, says, yeah, you keep in touch with Dale and Chuck. Now, he ain't supposed to be keeping in touch with no Chuck. Chuck's a convicted felon. He ain't got a damn thing to do. And every time we went over there, he was in the bail bond business just like big as Ike. And we filmed the shit out of him, and they know that. So I would have never done anything or said anything or hurt anybody. But when they start lying on me to protect their industry, boy, let me tell you what. Now you got me pissed off because the industry's going to hell in the handbasket because of their dealings, and it needs to be stopped.
I quite agree. Anyway, the way it ended up was you basically took Snodgrass back home, let him go, and life was good.
I was told to do that. You know, my agents told me to take his ass on to jail. Don't forget it. Just take him straight on to jail. And I said, well, I respect CE. CE said, oh, they going to let you go. So he told me, let him go. So, oh, I let him go. You know, then they said, well, you should have took him to jail. Listen, if the man, you know how many times we've done that? Pick somebody up, give them the shakedown because they sent us out to shake them down and then bring them to the office and then let them go. You know, that's a standard in the industry. Somebody's out there, they bring them in. We want to find out what the hell you're thinking. That's why I asked Bail Agent 328, what'd you done? I've done the same damn thing, been me. And then I asked him on the radio show, hell no, I never said that. You know, I'm like, you little prick. Yeah,
okay, but I think that the major point here is that it was all over in an hour, and everyone walked away, no harm, no foul.
Right. Well, here's what pisses me off. He's on a capital sexual battery bond. His trial was supposed to begin the day before my birthday, June 22nd. Ain't no trial begun for him. He's been on bond since 2007. I got arrested I turned myself in on the 21st of May. I got trial on the 14th of December. Now, I haven't seen no trial for him. I've heard rumors they've lost the different pieces of the case and this and the other. Maybe I'm responsible for throwing him on the ground and ruining their case. Oh, hogwash. He's on a string that can be pulled at any time, strictly legit, and they're trying to burn my ass for what reasons? I have no clue.
Okay.
Except one, to protect their evil shit they got going on. I can never testify against them if I'm a convicted felon.
All right. But, anyway, no harm, no foul. All right? Everyone walked away. Life is good.
Mm-hmm.
What was it? 2 months later? There's a warrant issued for you.
Yeah. They filed charges immediately. He did, said he was falsely imprisoned. I think he was pushed by, you know, it all come out at trial anyway, of who did what and where, unless they're going to continue to lie. But the facts are the facts. The facts are I had full legal right. It was apparent authority. If I went down to the jail with the power of attorney I have and bonded out $200,000 in convicts, or people accused of something, and then or turned around, bonded out a whole bunch of them, and they all skipped town, they wouldn't be trying to arrest me for bonding them out. They'd be calling the insurance company going, listen, well, you got $200,000 worth of debt over here that Cobra's bonded all these knuckleheads out of jail, and ain't none of them showed up for court. Now, either pay the $200,000 or bring in knuckleheads back over here, and that would have been that. There is no two separate licenses, two separate laws. It's apparent authority. I maintain it and have it, period.
Okay, so you actually turned yourself in, and you managed to be on the other side of the bail bond industry.
Ah, damn. First go around is I trusted a bail bondsman that posted my bond and then pulled my bond before I even got out of the damn jail. Hell, I wasn't in there 5 minutes and she already pulled the damn bond on me. Why the hell make me go through all the paperwork? So then I had to wait for a Miami bondsman who knows me to come and get me out the damn pokey. I mean, that kind of shit right there. Listen, when this is all said and done and I'm freed, man, I'm going to be owning some insurance companies. If not, I'll have enough money. I won't even get near this shit again. I'll just be sitting back smoking cigars going, ha, finally we cleaned up the damn industry. If it took me having to go, see, I would have never done it. They tried to get me to testify against these knuckleheads because I've been 30-some years. I've been in everybody's office. I know, I can tell them, look in that file cabinet, bottom drawer, backside, get the cameras, go get this. In fact, this past week there's been about, I don't know, half a dozen bail bond agencies raided across the state of Florida, and they went in to get particular paperwork and different things that I know they have, and they didn't think I knew they had, and I want them to start making the connections. And I'm not after any of the little guys. I'm after these big guys, Roger Capener, C.E. Parrish, the ones who have set this whole orchestrated mess into action and know what their agents do. And the administrative law says they are responsible and they can have their license revocated. And they need to start getting out there and doing their job. So I've been crying out to Alex Sink and the lawmakers and saying, before you become governor, do us one square. Fix the bail bond industry and fix it now, please. Please.
You were in court yesterday again. And the trial is set for the 14th of December.
Right.
Is that correct?
It's going to be about a two-day deal. And I said, well, how am I going to get 400 witnesses in here in 2 days? You ain't getting no 400 witnesses. Oh, shit. Well, I thought I was supposed to get a fair trial, too, because I'm going to start lining up the courtroom to show you. This is why they did this to me. This is why they lied to the police. And, you know, I do defend the police a lot, but I'll tell you this much. I've had calls in the state attorney's office here and different police that I know and FBI and everything else to talk to them up there. Listen, have Mr. Taylor come ask me some questions again, and let's see if y'all can do a proper investigation. First time I was told, don't talk to him. Well, I didn't talk to him. You know, and I also represent the PBA, cops getting in trouble here in Florida. And the first thing I tell them is, hey, don't answer nobody's questions until your attorney says yay. But the problem is I can't afford them $100,000 attorneys that could go in there and say what it is I'm saying to you right now. And they either don't know. I mean, I've asked the attorney, hey, how about filing a motion for me? What motion? 648 motion. File some motions. I mean, hell, they was in court filing motions to get this girl off of murder, and you know damn well, it looked like she did it. Somebody killed that kid, you know, and I didn't kill nobody. I got a little low-ass third-degree felony that it shouldn't even be that much to defend, and it shouldn't be through all this much shit. I mean, I've been doing this a few days now, and I know damn well that, listen, if I was going to kidnap or falsely imprison somebody, it sure as hell wouldn't be Snodgrass. No. I would have been after somebody else, and if I was going to willingly
like Misty or Ronald.
Yeah, well, I'll let you mention them because if God forbid one of them get kidnapped by somebody, I don't think I did it. But that would be more power for the court. Get somebody that you know is connected to the damn case, you know. No, I got to hear shit like from Snodgrass. I didn't have nothing to do with that little girl. I didn't ask you nothing about that little girl. I didn't break her hymen. What the fuck kind of conversation is this to be having with this guy? This is what he's screaming out. I didn't do what they said I did, raped that little girl, took her hymen away. What? You know, I didn't even ask him nair one fucking question about anything about this case. It had nothing to do with this case. It had to do with him selling his shit, me working for the insurance company, him going over to the damn Haley Bug Center. The police felt that they didn't have enough grounds to get him on. I got enough grounds to revoke his bond. It's up to the state to say whether or not I got to pay him his money back. He could still bond back out of jail with somebody else. You know
actually,
what I mean?
I doubt it because even the cops are saying that, you know, with the new administration, there is no way he would qualify for bond.
He can't qualify down here in this county and nowhere else. See, I thought that was a goof anyway. You know, in the back of my mind, I'm figuring I'm helping the police out anyway. I'm doing something that they can't do, and I ain't trying to be like the fucking hero. I'm just trying to help them out. Look, this knucklehead is running around here. Apparently, he don't give a shit about authority. He's going to come over here to the Haley Bug Center, tell him I'll get a fucking job. He's going to come over there until it pisses off one of the attorneys. You know, you'd feel that an officer of court, like Kim is, makes a call to the cops and says, listen, This guy can't be coming over here and doing this shit. You need to arrest him. Well, they should have arrested him then based on what she was saying, but they'd rather take the lies from a bunch of crooked-ass damn insurance people and make up bullshit and then have me fear of my damn life. I'm the fear of my damn life of getting set up. And the reason is that that's why I asked everybody on the show. I called up a bunch of state attorneys in Lee County, Collier County. I said, listen in on the show Sunday. These guys are operating illegally all over the state, been doing it for years. They're in the good old boy club. Their money has been commingled. They've done different things. They're writing up new businesses. They're not qualifying these businesses. They're doing slam bonds. They're doing bus bonds. They're doing all kinds of stupid shit. And the general agents and the appointing agents know it. They know it, and it makes their dollar go up, and they're as guilty as the guy that just like Teflon Joe. Now, Teflon Joe, I like Joe. I like Joe Houston, and I'm sorry he has to go through all the shit he's going through, but somebody was partnering with him in that. And when they get the somebody, I'll be happy. I ain't happy they got Joe. I'll be happy when they get Joe's qualifying agent, his general agent, get them all. They've all made millions of dollars. And there's poor people out there that they put out of business damn near by doing all these bond rush. They're doing the bum rush on the bond rush. And they get a first crack at the cookie jar before the cookie jar is revealed to the general public so everybody can have a grab at it. They got inside people. They do inside shit. And now, somebody's taking it serious. And for all these years, I mean, there was a bunch of cops caught up in the same shit that I'm caught up in. Had a prosecutor pushed it, they'd have went to jail. But I stepped up and took care of the business for them because they had hired a convicted felon to go out there and make these arrests and bring these people back. And he did it for years. Samuel Lee Hightower, that's their boy. That's been their boy. And then when he got in trouble, they did exactly what they did. I don't know what the hell they're talking about. What are they talking about? You know that guy, Shoe? I don't know Shoe. You know Shoe? No, I don't know Shoe. No, officer, we don't know no guy like that. Yeah. They never authorized him either. They need to all go their stinking asses to jail. And the reason being is I've seen them. Now, you got one sophisticated demon, and then you got another guy Bible-thumping all the time. Now, I know why them two make a good pair. He's scared to death. He's always got to talk about Jesus, but it ain't Jesus in his heart. They're about that almighty Jesus dollar, and they've been trying to figure out how to protect themselves. You know, a couple years ago, Simon, a husband and a wife left out of Lee County and hauled ass up to Wisconsin. Well, I went and got them. And about a year later, they came at me with federal lawsuit. Man, it was huge. Breaking and entering, crossing state lines, arm this, arm that. I mean, kidnapping. I mean, man, major shit. And I'll never forget walking into the room and having Roger Cavender sit there and go, "Who told you to do that?" I said, "Your firm told me to do that, sir." He goes, "No, we didn't tell you to do that. Man, you got this all. You in a bunch of trouble." I said, "What do you mean I'm in a bunch of trouble? You bought me the plane ticket. You got me the rental car. You paid me and paid my expenses. So you best be getting up in there." And boy, they did. They cost them a few dollars to figure that one out, but they did, and they represented me. I should be represented by the best that insurance company can afford right now, because look what they did to me. I'm still their agent. I'm still their agent. I was their agent then. I was qualified and appointed. They gave me the file. Why the hell did they give me the file?
Right.
Did I break the office and steal the file? No. No, I did not. Did I go get a file from Snodgrass? No, I did not. I got a file from Chuck's Bail Bonds, handed to me, printed each and every page. I even, matter of fact, I had to go back and get additional paperwork because they didn't photocopy the backsides of some of the things that I needed. Now, they knew, and they were trying to get Snodgrass back in jail and save themselves a liability of $78,000. The pickup was free. I wasn't charging them no money. If I fucked it up, I had to pay for it. So they're win, win, win. Then all of a sudden they realized, hold on a minute. We can fuck him up. Did you tell him to do that? Well, I didn't tell him to do that. You tell him to do that? No. We didn't tell him, officer. He broke the law. And now they're all jumping on my back trying to break my ribs. And that's bullshit. Mm. And I've got a pretty much a straight shooter attorney that was a former prosecutor. I hope he's got integrity, because if he has integrity, we'll win the case. If he has no integrity, I'm really fucked. You know, because they doing this to me. And that's why I'm reaching out to every agency in the state and saying, hey, check them out. Go in their office. Look in that file cabinet. See, I know where the bodies are buried. And I never, ever said nothing about it. In fact, when the state came after me years ago and they wanted to put everybody in jail, I said, no, ma'am. No. They get it like they live. One day they'll get it like they live. I didn't testify against them. In fact, my only job was to help out and make sure the U.S. Marshal Service, who was involved, and the Broward County Sheriff's Office, who was involved, in some bullshit about bail bondsmen claiming to be bail bondsmen that weren't bail bondsmen, but they were given the paper by the very people that had given me the paper and then said they'd never authorized him. Now they say they'd never authorized me. Well, mother bullshit.
Cobra, unfortunately, our time is up, but
you've got me blowed up over this shit, man. I kind of hope that we wouldn't have got all down this road, but I'm going to tell you what, that's what I live every day. I live in this set-up bullshit every single day thinking, is there a God out there? Somebody speak up for me. Somebody tell the damn truth. Quit this fucking nightmare.
I know I speak for everyone here at Blogger News. You know, we're behind you.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. You know, I didn't do nothing wrong, man. They lied on me. They got me arrested. And, you know, my poor old mama's thinking, what the hell's my boy got into? I didn't get into nothing that these jokers didn't set a trap for me. And what for? To save a guy who was allegedly selling or giving 300 honey buns inside the jail. Fuck the honey buns. There's 300 felonies out there. Go talk to the defendants out on these big bonds. See who made contact with them. See where the money went. Follow the money. Whose safety deposit box have you been in lately? Nobody. Start opening up some of them safety deposit boxes. You'll find out what the hell's going on. This is a big, huge, huge, huge violation to the citizens of the state of Florida, period.
Yeah. I mean, you understand, Jan and I will always, always be your friend.
Thank you, brother. Hey, if it don't go so good and they set me up while I'm waiting for the appeal process all the way to the Supreme Court, I do smoke Marlboros, and every once in a while, I need a little iced tea, man.
Okay, we'll bear that in mind.
Right.
Cobra, it has been great talking to you, and I know I learned a huge amount today. And I'm sure our listeners also learned a great deal.
Yep. You can't lie on a good guy and not have shit splash all over you. See, you can't do it.
Cobra, you have yourself a great day.
Thank you, brother. God bless you.
Okay, goodbye.
Easy.